Hello, everyone. It's Sunday, and that must mean that there's another episode of this podcast dropping today. Right now, I'm still in Arkansas, in Eureka Springs to be exact, and it is so beautiful and so glorious. I just wish every single one of you could come here and visit with me, share a coffee, have a little conversation, and talk about how amazing this world is. I need to thank everyone for the ratings and reviews that you've given me. I have over 100 five-star reviews now on both Apple and Spotify. But guess what? Guess what? I'm asking for more. If you're a new listener or a longtime listener and you feel like spreading a little bit of your own magic in the world, be sure to go to one of those platforms and give me a rating or write a sweet little review. I need to also thank all my Patreon supporters. Without you, I wouldn't be able to do this podcast. Remember, listeners, every little bit helps. Whether you pledge $3, $5, or $10 a month, whatever your donation is, please know that it helps so very much. This week, I have a super fun guest. I know I say that every week, but this week, Harry Werksman. How I adore this human being. He is an accomplished writer in Hollywood, a screenwriter, and the story of his discovery by one of the leading producers in Hollywood kind of had my jaw dropping the entire time. But he's many other things as well, as we all are. He describes a little bit of it in this podcast. He also teaches kids here in Santa Fe to become better writers. He's really out in the community. He wants to spread a little bit of his magic out there. And Harry is no stranger to miracles. He shares three of them in this episode. And I think you'll enjoy our conversation. I know I did. So now, without further ado, episode 116 of Bite-Sized Blessings.
I'm in there. My dog, because he gets up with me when you get up in the night, he comes trotting in with me into the bathroom because I'm like, they like to come in the bathroom and see what you're doing, especially at 4 a.m. And as I'm going to the bathroom, and I remember looking down at my watch for whatever reason, and it was literally 4:01, and I felt something in the bathroom with me, a presence. And my mother had passed away a few months. She passed away in March, and this was October. It's 4:01, my birthday. My mother has just passed away. I'm going to the bathroom. I feel something. The dog bolts from the bathroom. And I actually have three. And I'll try and keep them brief. So the first one involves me in that it was my mother. So my mother was Scottish, born in Scotland, stern family, and she was a fashion model. And she was 18 and in Israel doing a swimsuit shoot for Janssen Swimwear. And so they are at the Sea of Galilee for this shoot, and they're staying in a hotel nearby. And my mother's story goes as follows. She was asleep. She woke up and felt compelled to go onto the balcony of her hotel room, which overlooked the Sea of Galilee. And she said, in that moment, I was paralyzed. I couldn't move. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't hear. Frozen. And she said, and then it ended. And she said, I knew that I had been in the presence of God, or that's how she described what she felt. The next day, the shoot moves to Jerusalem. They are walking through the old city, and a rabbi comes up and grabs her arm and says, something happened to you. And would you like to talk about it? My mother says she went off to talk to this rabbi for like 3 hours. And he said, yes, you were in the presence of God. My mother, again, 18, Scottish, raised a Presbyterian, converts to Judaism. In England at the time, there was nothing other than Orthodox Judaism. So she went full bore. And, you know, I'd heard that story for a very long time. And on a trip to Israel, she took me back there, or all of us back there, and told me this story. You know, we didn't go to the hotel room, but we went to the hotel, which was still there. And she's like, right here, this is where it happened. And I was like, okay, that is, I don't know, Mom, you had a profoundly life-changing spiritual experience. Second one is for me. So that year I was in Australia working on Farscape, I took a trip on a train, which was unbelievable, from Sydney out to the center. I wanted to go see Uluru, Ayers Rock. And one of the things you can do is there's a trail that goes all the way around the base of Ayers Rock. It's like 8 miles or something like that. It's a big rock. And, you know, people are like, oh, did you climb it? And I'm like, if you go there and you talk to people, the indigenous population are like, it's like if you wanted to climb on top of St. Peter's Cathedral, you know, it's like, no, you don't do that. Anyway, so I decided to trek around the outside and, you know, there are water stations and it's marked so you don't get lost because you're in the outback. There ain't nothing around you. And I got onto the far side and I stopped and I hadn't seen anybody. Not a lot of people do the whole trek around. And I hadn't seen anybody for like an hour. And there was nobody coming because you could see quite a distance because it's the outback. And I stopped and I'm drinking some water and I'm just staring out at the vastness of this land. I mean, it is just, it's indescribable. And it was silent. Absolutely silent. I mean, unlike my mother, I could hear. And when I moved my feet, all I could hear was that. And then I realized I could hear my heart beating. I could hear my breath. And all of a sudden, I was like, I'm part of this. I am part of this. And I'm just staring at it. And all of a sudden, I realized I was weeping. I was just like, just not overwhelming emotion and connected. I was like, holy whatever. You know, I feel that really, and being in the outback, I mean, you know, you can look at the stars and it's just unbelievable because you know, you can see the universe. And I watched, look at that. And I was like, oh my God, I'm part of that too. You know, and you get up early in the morning to watch the sun rise over Ayers Rock, Uluru. And you're like, and I'm part of that. And it was just so nurturing going out there. And I came back changed. I came back where I was like, right, right. And then the final one is kind of a funny one. So I was born at 4:01 in the morning. Right? My mother tells me that 4:01 a.m. I came into the world. And on my birthday a couple of years ago, I got up, had to go to the bathroom. And I look at the clock and it's 4:00. It's 4 a.m. I'm like, okay. I'm in there. My dog, because he gets up with me when you get up in the night, he comes trotting in with me into the bathroom because I'm like, they like to come in the bathroom and see what you're doing, especially at 4 a.m. And as I'm going to the bathroom, and I remember looking down at my watch for whatever reason, and it was literally 4:01. And I felt something in the bathroom with me, a presence. And my mother had passed away a few months. She passed away in March, and this was October. 4:01, my birthday, my mother has just passed away. I'm going to the bathroom. I feel something. The dog bolts from the bathroom, like bolts and jumps back in bed. And here's the kind of amusing part of it. I was so shocked and like, what is happening to me, that I farted. And seriously, I thought it was like a rocket blast where I was like, I must have lifted off the ground, because it was just that physical react. Yeah, not many spiritual experiences come with a good fart story attached to them. And I like ran back to bed, you know, and I get in bed and you know, Amanda, my wife, turns and goes, "You okay?" And I'm like, "I need to talk to you right now. I know it's 4 o'clock in the morning, but we really need to talk about this right now." I don't know. Was it a dream state that I was in and that had it? But so what? You know, that's the other thing I feel about these spiritual experiences, stuff like that. People are like, oh, you know, like you said, your family's like, oh, that's not true. Whatever your experience is, it's yours. So I don't know. I could start parsing this experience and say, well, you were half asleep and the dog bolted because something else, you know, he's a dog and they just run away. I could probably explain it all away and have thought about all the other explanations, but I'm like, no, you know what? I choose to believe that in that moment, at the moment of my birth, I think it was my mom just being like, hey there.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Bite-Sized Blessings. I hope you enjoyed the conversation I had with Harry. It's so fun to talk to someone who's doing what I eventually would love to do, but also someone who plays in the realms of spirit and magic. There's no doubt in my mind that Harry's surrounded by magic and miracles because he believes in them, because he believes that this universe contains them. And I think if we all believed like Harry, this world might be just a more magical place, a more beautiful place for everyone around us. I need to thank the creators of the music used in this episode: Frank Schroeder, Alexander Nakarada, Music L. Files, Winnie the Moog, Sasha End, and Stephen O'Brien. For complete attribution, please see the Bite-Sized Blessings website at bitesizedblessings.com. On the website, you'll find links to really cool music, to playlists, to artists, to lots of things that I hope lighten and brighten your day. Thank you for listening. And here's my one request: be like Harry. Believe in this bubble universe and believe that it is good. Believe that there's magic and miracles everywhere, in the people that you meet, in the food that you consume, how you go walking in your daily life, pretty much all of it. Believe in it, and then watch that magic and those miracles start happening all around you.